But what we're going to look at today is we're going to break a little bit from the pattern of 40 days of prayer, simply because Rick Warren is the best teacher in the world. I mean, he's fantastic. I think New Frontiers have a little edge in the spirit and wanting to see things happen, say prophetically, in healing, and where we're going today. So you'll see where we're going. And I'm going to do it because Duncan wants me to express my gift of evangelism, and this is kind of where it has led me, okay? So we're going to be looking at praying in the power of the Spirit, okay? Yeah? And so this week, we're going to be talking about prayer to cast out demons, okay? And you go, ooh. Well, really, honestly, it shouldn't be. It really shouldn't, because Jesus came all the way from heaven down to give us a message. And he said this in Matthew 10:7. I said a bit of scripture right at the start to keep Tim at me, wherever he is. Come on, straight there. Yeah, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. So it's about four things we should be doing. Now, how many books have you read, preachers have you heard about healing the sick? Everybody loves people being healed, don't they? Yeah. But how many have you heard about casting demons out? But it's in there, it's right there. And I think partly the reason for that is that people have watched a film called The Exorcist, and there's screaming, there's blood, there's the cross and all that going. And it's like, it's bigged it up so much that even Christians have become fearful of the things. Okay? Jesus wasn't. It's as simple as that. So what we're going to look at today is the power to kick them out, the process that we go through, and then the procedure that I believe is a great way of doing it. So why would we want to learn this? Well, first of all, Paul, who knew Jesus more than it, you know, summed up Jesus's life this way, okay? He said in Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So if you can, you know, that's how we pictured Jesus's life, going about doing good. And if we're going to follow what Jesus did and become like Jesus, then as we go about doing good, which we should be doing, we should find people that need healing, that need raising from the dead. I haven't done that one yet, but I know some people that have, and that's reality. And we should meet people that actually need to have demons cast out. And why do we need to know this? Well, Jesus commanded us to do it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, so go and do it. And lastly, getting understanding of how to kick them out will make the difference of either living a life that is full of joy or a life that is miserable. Is anyone in the house want a joyful life? Give us a big noise. Yeah. Yeah. Is anyone in our house want a miserable life? I'm in the right place. The miserable lot are down the end. The Jovos, they call them, don't they? Miserable lot. Yeah, we don't want to go there. But the thing is this. Actually, yeah, I won't go into that one. But the first thing to know, okay, is that God is sovereign. God is on the throne. I've heard so much of this stuff where it's almost like it's up to me and my prayers to come against, and it's me against the devil. No, look, God is on the throne. We don't kind of live in a universe where it's God against the devil. You know, there's God in the blue corner and in the red corner, it's the devil. It isn't like that. You know, the thing is this, that the devil is powerful through the fall. He has now become the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So he's got some strength, power there. Yeah, but God is seated on the throne. He is still there. And no demon is anywhere without the sovereign permission of God. So when we pray against these things, we pray knowing that God is still there. This is where our power comes from. This is where our authority comes from. And he wants us to do it. You know, that's why he said that. I want you to go and do that. And you will change people's lives as you do that. And in my honest opinion, it's a little bit where the fun is. You know, if you pray for someone to get healed and they're healed, it's like, yes. You know, if you kick a demon out and you see someone's life transformed, it's a yes. Too many of us are living a boring Christian life. You know, it's great. I love coming to worship. I love doing this stuff together. But unless you're taking this out there and taking the kingdom of God wherever you are, what's the point? Now we're going to be worshiping forever. We've got a little bit to do now that God wants to do through us. But it's get that, honestly. I'll tell one thing, I'll go aside. I knew a guy once who his speciality was kicking demons out. He was the most demon-possessed person I've ever met. And I couldn't work it out. He was always going on about. Anyway, I took him aside and I found out that he didn't believe in the Trinity. I went, really? And I said, what about Jesus, fully God, fully man? Do you believe in that? He went, oh, yeah, well, I'm not sure about that one either. Guys, if you are not convinced that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus is fully God, fully man, don't go near this stuff, yeah? Go to, you know, Christianity 101 first, okay? Anyway, so move on. So what are Christians? What are demons? Well, demons are this. Demons are very simply beings without bodies, okay? And they're alive today, and they are looking for somewhere to live. And they're active right throughout the earth. They were active when Jesus was here, and they're active now. And people knew about demons then. You know, Satan's done a massive work on earth now, is that people in this, they don't even believe in the spiritual world. They don't believe this stuff, but actually it is there. And their intent is to make you sick. They can make you sick, make you dysfunctional, make you hurt, broken, and eventually into suicide. And we see that, don't we, with the demoniac, you know. There's the demoniac. Jesus commands the demons to come out of the guy. And there's pigs over there, you know, they're just munching away at the grass as they do, all happy. And then the introduction of the demons into 2,000 pigs out of one guy, yeah? But 2,000 into them, the first thing they do is go running off and drown themselves. It actually, they choke to death in the water, that's what it says. And this is the effect that a demon will have on us, whether it's inside or whether it's out. And my first experience of the demonic was with a guy called Bruce, East End guy, lovely guy, but he was riddled with arthritis. I mean, the guy could hardly move. And he phoned me up one day and he said, Clive, is it all right? My doctor said, I want you to take Puff. And because that's the only thing he knew that would take away the pain. And I said, well, I can't tell you to do that, but if it takes away the pain, then do it and repent. If say, God, it's the only thing that's going to help me. That's all I could think to do. And anyway, 2 weeks later, he came in and laid me hand on him. I'd read a book by Derek Prince. It's pretty good, but don't let that be the only book you read on it if you want to read up on this stuff. That's not, you need more than that, okay? Anyway, we laid our hands on him and just prayed a very simple prayer, okay? And I was a Christian for like a year and a half here. It wasn't much, it wasn't, you know, Mr. Experience. I know what I'm doing. I just, right, in the name of Jesus, arthritis, come out, right? And I felt something kind of come out of him and go up the arms, and it was like gone. And all of a sudden, he started jumping up and down, running around. He was completely and utterly freed of arthritis. And just amazing. And I saw him about 3 months later, completely healed. He was only a new Christian himself, completely walking about free of it. Now, and the thing is this, not all arthritis is caused that way, but most, I believe, is. And it's through unforgiveness, mainly, that allows the arthritis to get in and stay there. You see the old grumpy old people, don't you? They all get twisted up, and that's what arthritis does, because they're unforgiving. But we're going to look at that in a minute. And so let's kind of look at the process. And first of all, when we're dealing with this stuff, you've got to look for the legal right that that demonic thing has to be there. The root problem, whether it's from within, they're affected because they do get in, or it's from without. You're demonized, you're affected by these things. How did they get in there? Because, and it's not easy for the demonic to get in. It really isn't. They have to have a spiritual right and an opportunity to get in on you. Jesus said this, you know, in Luke 4:18, that the Father has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, and to set the captives free. And so we have to find out really, how did he get there? The prisoners, a prisoner is someone who's broken the law, they've been judged and rightly put in prison. Captives are people that have been captured and enslaved. And so for us, this means that a prisoner is someone spiritually who has been in sin and been judged guilty for what they are doing. Captives are people that have been slayed by the liars. What is the devil called? The deceiver. He will lie to you. And if you believe his lies, then you become captive. You know, his favourite lie is that he doesn't exist and we shouldn't be doing this talk. That's great. And he's silenced the church. How many other teachings do you get on this? Very, even today, you're probably feeling uncomfortable that I'm going through it. But it is what Jesus said, okay? So, so what other thing would he say? He would say, you're no good, you're useless, and you're rubbish. That's exactly, and what we need to do is speak truth to someone like that. I had a guy once, a guy called Anthony, and he came to me. Again, I was a very new Christian, but people just used to come to me for this stuff. And he said to me, Clive, I've got a problem, you know, with lust. And I said, okay, fair enough. And we went through, we talked it through and that. And his problem wasn't lust. The root problem was pornography, okay? He kept going back to porn. He kept going back to it. And so it was a sin, and rightfully he'd been judged for that, and he was in a bad way. The demonic had found its way in on him. And the reality is with church today that we're in a bad place with this porn stuff. 42% of men and 25% of women, this is on the lower end of the scale of what's reported on the internet, have now got an addiction. This is within the church, addiction with pornography. 75% say that they occasionally look at it. Don't do it, guys. It takes you into the wrong place. And as I chatted to Anthony, I said, Angie, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, and we got him to... Actually, what had happened, I'll tell you a little story, okay? He said, Clive, what's happening is that as I'm in at work, he said, and I'm in the photocopy room, he said, this woman's in there, and she says she's really nice, and she keeps showing me bits. He said, Clive, and he was married, it wasn't going too well, and he was actually like one of the elders kind of thing. And I said, okay. He said, if it happens again, I'm going to give him, Clive, can you help? And so we exposed the sin, the pornography. He said he never wants to do it again. We took him to repentance and cast the thing out. Now, these things come out with a cough, a tear, a cry, sometimes a smell. They come out sometimes the back of the neck. Don't really care. We just cast and it went. I spoke to him about, 3 days later. He said, Clive, I can't believe it. I was sitting on the train coming up to London. He said, and I was reading my Bible like I always do. And a guy next to me got out the Sun newspaper. And in them days, I haven't seen it, but it was a page free. He said, and what I did, I just carried on reading my Bible. He said, and that was amazing. He said, because normally I would not be able to stop looking at what was on that page free. He said, but he said, it's gone. I just don't even, and he was released from that day. Praise the Lord. Which takes us into repentance. The thing is, the person has to be ready for this. You can't just do it. And, you know, so if you're Mr. Angry and you have outbursts of anger, you've got to be ready to not get angry. And probably if it's outburst, your anger has led you to a place where you are influenced. Okay, with Anthony, I said to him, look, you know, are you ready to give up looking at porn late at night? And it was only if he said yes and I could see that would I take him through it. And there's a reason for that. Demons know they have a right to be there and wreak havoc in your life. They know they've got a right. And so if you're there in sin, you have to expose it, take them to repentance. If they're a captive to the lies of the devil, you need to teach them truth. You know, if the devil is saying to them, you're rubbish and nothing becomes of their life, you teach them, you're a son of God. You've taken out of darkness into light. Christ is in you. Now you're in Christ. It cannot be, you know, and you're loved and cared for, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. And then we go to the next stage. Jesus said this, look, Luke 11, 26, that when an unclean spirit leaves a house, it will leave it empty, but it will return. Note that, those who have read that before. It will return. Not it might, it will return with a few of his friends and make that, the condition of that person will be worse than it was before. Now, in my early days, I did this many times, and I could tell you stories now when I did it and I shouldn't. And the condition of the person was much worse after. So make sure they're in the right place and ready for it. If they're not a Christian, don't pray for them. Don't pray these prayers for them. You know, so when they leave, the house is empty and the spirits will want to come back and live there. Okay? We need Christ to be there first. So lead them to repentance and get Christ in their hearts. What do? We listen when we interview. Listen for where the pain is. Where is the pain? Where does it come from? And what is the Holy Spirit saying? And once they've confessed, once we've got that, the root cause out, we're into the open, we can lead them through to repentance. And that kind of leads us to the next place. Now, the next place is this, is unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness in the heart, I believe, is the number one reason why Christians are oppressed, they are influenced by demons, they're sick, because they're carrying unforgiveness about. And once the demonic know that if you've got that, that's like the door slammed, you cannot get the things to go out. And if you can, they'll be back within no time. Okay, so we need to be forgiving people. We need to forgive. Jesus said this in Matthew 18. We see the story of the unforgiving servant, you know, where the guy was forgiven so much by God, and then when it came to forgiving someone else, he went, no, I'm not doing it. So God said, you know, he imprisoned the guy, and he said, so it will be with you if you do not forgive from the heart. And the thing about prison is that you can't do anything in prison. You can't move forward in life. Nothing works because you're banged up. And so with us, if we don't forgive. There was a lady who came to me once, June, and many, many years ago, okay? And she said to me, Clive, my life is not moving on. And she said, the thing is that she was about 30, she was 43 at the time, and she said, I've had a nightmare every other night since I was about 6 years old. She said, I want to get through it. Clive, can you help me? And I went, well, okay, tell me what the dream is. Now, I don't know if you know how to unpack dreams, but with a dream, what you need to do is ask the person to tell the dream as though it's happening now. Not as, there was this, and this, as though it's in the past. No, now, as I'm living it right now, and all of a sudden you'll unpack what's going on. So she told me, we're going out, and my mum's put me in the car, and we go into the woods, and there's these guys there on motorbikes, and there was Hell's Angels. She didn't know that then. Hell's Angels, she said, and All of a sudden, one of them got on me and it started to really sting. She said, and I looked over to Mum and there was someone doing the same thing on Mum. And I was screaming to Mum, Mum, will you get there? Da, 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 da. And she said, the next thing, the stinging stopped and I jumped up and I ran over and I kicked Mum where it hurts because she didn't stop it. And I thought, wow. I went, okay, all right. Have you forgiven the people involved? It's not that you let them go, but it's that God says, it's mine to avenge. We leave it to God. And she said, yes. She said, it took a long time, but I've forgiven the guy and I've forgiven my mum. She said, but what I've just realised, she said, is that I didn't forgive myself. And I thought, and I said to her, I said, what on earth do you feel you've got to forgive yourself for? You were 6 years old. How could you? And she said, no. She said, I couldn't forgive myself for getting up and running over to my mum and kicking her where I did. I went, okay, if that's where it is. And I led her through a short prayer of forgiveness. And there was a release, a freedom that came. The dream stopped that night. Her life opened up and she's now a preacher within the Anglican system. And so my question is, I know this is a little bit, right, a bit serious, but guys, these things are real. We're in a war. You know, it's great, all the love Jesus, all this kind of stuff. We do, but sometimes there's a work to be done and we've got to be real about it. And I'll tell you a little bit more in a minute, but I'd ask you this. Is that have you come to a place, a wall in your life that you can't get further? You feel you're kind of trapped or yeah, it's just stuck. Well, unforgiveness and something else behind that might be there that God wants to release you from today. A few things, it's a bit of advice. You don't have to shout at demons. It's not your shouting that will get rid of them. The name of Jesus will. Can I hear an amen to that? Come on, let's let demonic hear that again. Let's hear an amen. Okay, you know, and so don't shout them. Don't talk to demons, okay? You do that at a very last resort. Jesus, in all his time, there was only one time that he spoke to demons, one time. All the other times he said, be silent. It really is a last resort to do that. I have done it a handful of times. But I resist doing that as much as because they're liars. What on earth are you talking to them for? But sometimes, very, very. Lastly, you cannot be possessed by an evil spirit, by the devil, if you're a Christian. Why? Because you are in Christ. Christ is in you. You've been taken out of darkness into light. The old man is dead. You're now alive in him. Jesus is on the throne in your heart. Is Jesus going to let some filthy spirit come in and say, get off my throne? No, it's never going to happen. But they can influence you, okay? When we were at Catalyst, there was a woman, I noticed her over here, as I'm worshipping, I'm thinking all I want to do is worship. And all of a sudden I thought there's something not right there. You know, and it carried on worship. Next thing, she's behind me. And the next thing, she's on the floor. And I don't know why they did it, but the prayer team got one of my youth that had only just come to faith to come over and pray for her. And I'm thinking, can't you see, that's not the Holy Spirit, you know. It was like wriggling around like a snake. It hadn't started hissing yet. And I'm thinking, what I'll do, I just want to worship God. And I thought, no. Anyway, so I went back there and I went, okay, in the name of Jesus, come out, whatever you are. And she started screaming, right? I mean, scream. Did anyone, there was 4,000 people there, right? And I'm telling the thing, be quiet in the name of Jesus. And at that time it didn't. And there was you there when there was 4,000 people? Did you hear that scream? And it was so annoying. And I was in the name of Jesus. So at that point I said, right, in the name of Jesus, you take control of your body. You cannot be possessed. Take control now. Jesus possesses you. Satan can't. And all of a sudden, she calmed down at that point. And I went, demon, you come out in Jesus' name. And then the demon spoke to me and it went, I am coming out. You know, really loud. I mean, I went, praise God for that. And then a body went limp and some others come and ministered. And I just went back to worshipping. And the thing is this, we've got to watch this. Okay, is that we don't celebrate it. We do not celebrate. Jesus sent out 72. He said, you go out there and do the stuff. Okay, now if you can picture it, they've just been out there with the power of God, the kingdom of God has come. So you should be, I should be, going out there, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, all that. So they would have healed loads of people. They would have seen people come to salvation. And all they can say to Jesus was, Jesus, even the evil spirits, they submit to us. Jesus told them off. He said, look, don't get overexcited about that. Get overexcited that your names are written in heaven. It's nothing to get excited about or big up, because that's where the problem is. Because people have bigged it up. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to do it. No, we big up salvation, guys. That's what it's... This is just a weapon in our armory that we've all got. We've just got to learn to use it. Okay, so how? First of all, go out there knowing that all authority in heaven and earth is given to me, is Jesus's. So all authority means Satan's got none. And then he says, go, you've got all authority. Now go. He says, three ways that this will happen, okay? The main way that it happens is right here while you're worshipping. Those that have got trained ears and eyes will know what's going on, okay? As I said before, they come out with a cough. If you get fuzzy throat, cough it out, yeah? It could be tears, it could be pain at the back of the neck, and it goes. As we worship, you see, this is the thing, and God spoke to me about this, is that during 40 days of prayer, okay, we have got close. Has anyone got closer to God in this time? Amen? Yeah. Come on. God has taken us closer. God has got us near him. And as the Holy Spirit, as God comes down, these things, which are far more common than you think, okay, forget about the film. This is the Bible. Right, as the Spirit comes down, what has been in us and rooted in us for years, they hide themselves within our hearts. They hide, and that's where they love to be. As the Holy Spirit comes, as we get closer to God, he wants to kick them out. He wants them gone. And I believe that that's what God wants to do today. So as the Spirit comes, we'll pray in a minute. The Spirit comes, we're going to name a few things. And you know, not, no big deal. See what God wants to do. So that is the big way that it happens. Secondly, you get the crisis times, you know, where that lady was like, come out in the name of Jesus, I'm coming out, and all that stuff. That's there. But in church life, okay, I want us to think of it as a process. There was a guy called Gary Sweeten. I went out to Singapore. They teach their children to do this, okay? So they worship all sorts of ancestral spirits. So you'll see it out there on the street. They worship them. So the kids need to be armed up. So from about five on, they know how to cast demons out. But what happened with Gary was that do you remember the charismatic movement that started in the, I think it was the 60s and the 70s? The Spirit of God would come and everyone's getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden demons started to surface. And how do we deal with it? So they went about casting demons out here, there and everywhere. 10 years later, Gary went and did a study to find out how many people had still got their deliverance. And he found this, that at least 60 to 70% of those that were delivered had the same demon back in them. And so the way we look at it is like this. Think of it as an operation, okay? Where the surgeon, if there's something wrong, the surgeon would, first of all, he would explore what is happening. Your first visit, he wants to know what's going on. The second visit, he will do the operation. The third visit, he will do aftercare. And so with us, the first visit is to find out the root cause. The first visit is to take them to forgiveness. The first visit is to bring them to repentance, okay, if they're ready. The second visit would be to pray to kick these things out and get rid of them. The third one would be aftercare, to make sure, keep them accountable for whatever you've got rid of in their life. When they did it like that, 90% of these people that had demons kicked out were freed and stayed free. That is our main way of doing it. Can we have a little bit of music if we can? What I'm going to do is just work this through. I will say this, is that there is a big likelihood that these things could be affecting. If you've ever suffered rejection, if you were unwanted as a child, if you were bullied or made fun of, I know I was, and you can deliver yourself with this stuff. I'll tell you now, is that I used to wake up in the middle of the night dreaming about someone else who was angry, and I would get delivered. And it went on for about 2 or 3 years. I was a bit like a demoniac before, hopefully I'm not now, right? But God will do it, okay? Now, or if, can we just take that right down, if that's all right? Just while I do this, yeah, thank you. But still, that's it, come on. Or if you've had an abortion, again, these things can get in. If you've been involved with the occult, see, you might think, well, it's not me, and all, but these things can root in, and they're silent until the wrong moment. And all of a sudden you become the person that you never thought you was. It's because there's something there and God wants to get rid of it. If you've lost someone that you really love and they're really close to you, that is another one. If you've suffered abuse mentally, physically, emotionally, again, it's how they can get in. And God wants to, that's why he said, the kingdom of God has come, so heaven has come. This stuff doesn't belong in heaven. So cast them out, let them go. All we have to do is a heart that says, okay, if that's me and I'm being influenced in any way, God, will you take it? Can we stand, please? And what I'm gonna do now is just ask the Holy Spirit to come and ask, what I would do, we're going to ask the Spirit to come and do what he wants to do. But if you feel any release, if you feel better afterwards, I want to ask you, after this service, speak to one of your leaders, your group leaders, let them know what's going on so you can get the aftercare. So, oh Lord, come in power. Jesus said, I have come to release the prisoners and set the captive free. Make your own mind up now whether you want freedom, whether you want to be released, whether you want the walls to come down so you can be fully the person that God made you to be. He's called us as a church to come closer so he can do more through us. This is just the next stage. It's not that big a deal, guys. But don't hold on to what's there. And so I would say this, if you are prone to outbursts of anger, where you think, why did I do that? Jesus is here wanting to release you today, wanting to release you. He wants to take it away. Let's raise our hands, and I'm just gonna, just Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit, so anger, I come against you in the name of Jesus, and I say, get out of God's people now in Jesus' name. Rejection, I come against you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to get out of God's people now in the name of Jesus. You don't belong there. Loneliness, horrible spirit. I command you to get out of God's people. You no longer have a place here. Oppression, you leave now in Jesus' name. Control, you get out in Jesus' name. Leave now in the name of Jesus. Torment, You go. In the name of Jesus, you get out of God's people now. Now, in Jesus' name. Cancer, you come out, you go in Jesus' name. Arthritis, I come against you in the name of Jesus, and I command you, get out and go in Jesus' name. Shame, go in Jesus' name. Envy, go in Jesus' name. Do you know one I had, and do you know what? I was sitting there once with Duncan and started coughing, okay? He said, are you all right? I said, Duncan, a demon's coming out. Do you know that pastors need to go through this at least once a year? If you're ministering, you're on the front line and demons are going to get in. If they can, they'll be. I didn't know what it was. I didn't care. I said, look, just you know, let's just pray. And you just, a little fuzzy thing, that's all you feel. Cough the thing out. And it was gone. It's great. You know, let's not get up on this. We want freedom, amen, church. I was getting prayed for once. I just went to see a service like this. And the guy mentioned chronic fatigue. I was absolutely whacked out at the end of it. And as soon as the guy mentioned chronic fatigue, I felt that fuzzy feeling. I know exactly what it was. And it was like, it came out and it was like, wow, look at that. And afterwards, I had the energy back. I could think properly. It was like, this is amazing. And this is what God wants to do now. So let's stay in that place. I'm going to mention a few more. Envy, you go in the name of Jesus. Hatred, you go in the name of Jesus. Guilt, you get out in Jesus' name. Murder, go in Jesus' name. Neglect, go in the name of Jesus. Paranoia, you go in the name of Jesus. Poverty, you get out of this place in Jesus' name. Despair, you go in Jesus' name. Worry, suicide, get out in Jesus' name. Addictions, drug addiction, go in Jesus' name. Alcohol addiction, go in Jesus' name. Gambling addiction, go in Jesus' name. Nicotine addiction, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray, release us, God. Have mercy, God, upon us. Have mercy. We love you, Jesus. We don't want anything holding us back. We don't want anything coming between us and you. Lord, we thank you for your blood, that it cleanses us, it washes us. That this is what God showed me, that his spirit has been working powerfully within us, especially in these 40 days of prayer, taking us to the point where we get released, we get freedom. So Lord, we pray, give us that freedom. Give us that freedom. And we thank you for what you're doing. Let's worship God and just, let's give him a big round of applause for giving us freedom today. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.